Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
We are now one vote away from this H.R. 1, the voter fraud bill, from passing in the Senate. Time is of the essence. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this H.R. 1, which is the so-called For the People Act, will literally legalize voter or election fraud across the country. And now there are 49 Democratic sponsors to this bill. That means one vote away. And we need to make sure that the filibuster rule, which requires 60 votes, stays intact. So far, Senator Joe Manchin says he does not want to abolish the filibuster, but he's going to get and is getting a lot of pressure. And we need to make sure that this bill doesn't get appended to some 51-vote bill like a budget bill and gets passed in the wee hours of the morning. This is a bill, Holly, that if it passes in the Senate, it's already passed in the House, will mean that we'll never have free and fair elections again.
You know, to me, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, but I think everybody, you know, part of being American is having the privilege of voting, the responsibility of voting, and this would take that away. I mean, obviously, they have an agenda behind passing this voter fraud so they could have everything on their side as the left Democratic side, and there would be no more Republicans in office. You know, I mean, you're banning voter IDs, you're mandating no-fault mail-in ballots, you're forcing states to accept mail-in ballots for up to 10 days after Election Day. That's ludicrous.
Yeah, and it would seize authority from the states and place the federal government in complete control of federal elections. It literally automatically, listen to this, registers all individuals as opposed to just citizens from age 16, and thus requires the person to opt out rather than to opt in. Why would you register people that are not eligible to vote, 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds? Why would you do that? And once registered, obviously these people could slip in and vote. And it requires that all individuals, which means illegal aliens, those who are not citizens of the United States, because it's not limited to citizens, would be automatically registered. It registers convicted felons. It allows people to vote outside of their precinct. So no longer would you have to go to your precinct. You can go to any precinct. Now, you might say, well, that is actually a place of convenience for me to just go anywhere. But, you know, here's the problem. If you go to any precinct that you want to, that precinct's not going to know whether you're on the voter rolls, whether you live in that particular precinct. That's why the precinct is important to identify valid voters. But this will actually punish, in addition to all these other things, anyone who questions the validity of a voter by up to prison and a $100,000 fine.
To like the poll watchers who volunteer to work the polls, if they even question
right.
the validity.
Right. Somebody comes in, for example, and they don't have ID, which, by the way, it bans voter ID laws. If they come in for same-day registration, because it allows you to register the same day that you vote. So you could come in 5 minutes before the polls close and register to vote and not in the precinct. So you don't have ID. You don't have anything to validate that you actually are a citizen, that you live in the state, that you live anywhere nearby.
Wait, that means so you could drive around all day to all different precincts?
All the different precincts.
And register there.
And they can't question you. And if they do, the person who's the poll worker, like you said, Holly, can face up to 5 years in prison and a $100,000 fine.
Well, that doesn't encourage anyone to volunteer to be a poll worker.
No, why would anybody do that? And then why would you even question somebody? Because you're just going to automatically let them vote, which means that the votes go into the big pool. They get mixed together, and then you get counted, and you can have mail-in ballots come in up to 10 days after the election, so you'll never know what the results are on election night. Then when you count all these, how are you going to figure out what's valid and what's not? Once somebody's voted and you don't have that connection to determine whether they're a legitimate voter, you lose the ability to determine whether this pool of ballots, this pool of votes, is legitimate. So with same-day registration, no ID, and no ability to verify a voter, a person can go precinct to precinct, voting multiple times under different names, and cannot be caught before their phony ballots are combined and mixed with other legitimate votes.
Well, this is an opportunity for us to speak up and contact our legislators and say, no, this is not what America stands for.
You can go to lc.org/HR5. There we have more information about this bill, lc.org/HR5. This is critical because it would, if passed, stop all of the investigation right now that's ongoing in the courts by the legislatures to look at this 2020 voting irregularities. This is a 900 or so page bill. It's chock full with lots of bad things. Now, if you go over to Arizona, Biden won Arizona by 10,457 total votes. However, the registrar's office admitted that 3,000 to 4,000 of the federal-only votes, people only voted on the federal level, which is very odd, by the way. People don't usually just vote on the federal level only, were never proved to be citizens. So in other words, 3,000 to 4,000 of those that voted for the president were never validated as citizens, authorized to vote.
Well, you know, I'm grateful they're doing a forensic audit right now in Arizona, and they've got more than 2 million ballots. They're hand testing. They've got actual cables hooked up to the machines, not using Wi-Fi, but actual cables hooked up to the machines, testing all this. They're going to neighborhoods, checking addresses if people actually live there, because you know a lot of quote-unquote dead people have voted. So they're doing this to the T, which is so good. And once this is resolved in Arizona, I believe you'll see the dominoes start to fall in other states as well.
Yeah, and the Public Interest Legal Foundation in a lawsuit in Arizona found that there were people with the same name, birthday, and address, or a very close variation, who voted twice in the 2016 election, which accounted back then for 3,277 double votes. And in 2018, there were more, or there were 3,077 double votes. So we know that this has happened in 2016, 2018, and obviously it's happened, no doubt, in 2020, perhaps even at a higher level than 3,000 or so. So now you add that to the 3,000 to 4,000, you're up to 6,000 to 7,000. And then you have, you know, other problems within Arizona. You have people that are dead. You've got, for example, in other states, Pennsylvania just removed 21,000 dead voters from the rolls. Now, we actually did our own research in Pennsylvania, and we found that there were a lot of dead people. Some of them were dead back in the 1800s, still on the voter rolls, and they weren't just on the rolls. They actually asked for a mail-in ballot, and they actually, many of them, sent the mail-in ballot in time before the actual November vote.
Okay, that would be hilarious if it wasn't really tragic.
But it's happened. We have firsthand knowledge of that happening in Pennsylvania.
And plus they're using addresses. I mean, whether they're P.O. box, they don't actually live there, or office buildings, or fake addresses. They're finding a lot of those, too.
Yeah, and so, you know, in Pennsylvania, for example, 680,000 mail-in votes were counted without any Republican oversight in violation of both the law and a directive from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which also includes our Liberty Counsel attorney, who was an authorized observer in Pennsylvania. He was excluded, as was any other observers in Philadelphia, which is the largest area of these Biden votes. So there are a lot of things happening around the country in these various states, both in litigation as well as in the courts and the legislatures, to uncover what happened in 2020. But H.R. 1 would put an end to it. H.R. 1 would halt all of that. H.R. 1 would say, no more, it doesn't matter. We now have total control, total jurisdiction all the states, all the litigation, all the federal or the other investigation would come to an end. And, you know, this problem of mail-in ballots, with Jimmy Carter recognized many years ago as part of this bipartisan commission on voter fraud, recognized that this was a huge problem. And yet H.R. 1 would actually make it worse. Go to lc.org/HR1, fax, sign the petition, and call the senators. lc.org/HR1.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.